It's possible to be a Christian and to live in the capital city. But after the great fire of AD 64, the fire where Rome burned and Nero fiddled, Nero turned on the Christians. And because Christians were unpopular, he was able to incite a persecution against Christians that led to their trial and in some cases their execution. William Lane puts it this way, that in AD 64, martyrdom became an aspect of the Christian experience in Rome. Martyrdom became part of the Christian experience. So as the Hebrew Christians gathered, perhaps on a Sunday morning, to listen to the words that we'll hear today, faith was a very real issue to them. Would their faith stand up to this second greater trial? They were a people in need of encouragement. If you're in need of encouragement, either as a Christian or someone who doesn't quite understand faith, then I hope you'll enjoy reading and listening to these words this morning as we look at the subject of faith. So let's take time to look at people of faith, and we're going to see faith described in the lives of two people, particularly Noah and Abraham, and then towards the end we'll look at faith in our time. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7 to 10. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in a promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Amen. And God will bless these words to us as we reflect on them. Let's take time to think about how we were introduced to faith at the beginning of the chapter several weeks ago. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. A sure hope. Certain of something that we do not see. Faith touches on what we cannot see. We were reminded last week that without faith, it is impossible to please God, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We're introduced in this chapter to how essential faith is in the Christian experience. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. With faith, we are rewarded by God. And yet it's something that we cannot see in our culture today. We are very dependent on what we can see and what we can prove. In a culture that's dominated by science and proving things and researching things. And yet, too, there are plenty of things that we can see but are real. We can't see the wind, but if you go out and stand under one of the huge turbines whirling round at Whiteley's wind farm out on the Eaglesham Moor, stand below one of these whirling blades and you're in no doubt of the existence of the wind. So how are we to grasp faith? How are we to know what it means? The writer to these Hebrews wants to show faith in the life of people. That invisible, unseen thing can be seen in the life of people. Last week, Andy introduced us to the Hall of Fame of Faith. The whole chapter is full of people of faith. By faith, Noah did this. By faith, Abraham. By faith, by faith, by faith, throughout this whole chapter. And we're going to look today at two people who demonstrated faith in their lives. Noah the builder, whose faith led him to build the ark. We're going to look at Abraham the traveller, whose faith led him to spend his life travelling on a journey, looking for a destination, following a promise that God had given him. Both of these two modelled faith. It characterised their lives. Not only did they believe, but they responded, and it was shown in their actions. And that's our topic today, faith that responds. So let's consider both of these two together. Noah the builder, Abraham the traveller. The story of Noah is found in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 6 right through to 9. You can read about Noah. Many of you will perhaps know the story of Noah. We'll not take it for granted that you do know it though, but it's worth a read either again or for the first time in chapters 6 to 9 of Genesis. Let's reflect on it though. We're introduced to Noah as a man who found favour in the eyes of the Lord, someone whom God looked at and respected and honoured. He found favour in the eyes of the Lord. That was in stark contrast to the people around about him whose behaviour was described as great wickedness. Evil all the time. And with a heavy heart, God looks down at the world and decrees that he will not tolerate this wickedness anymore. And in judgment, he will destroy the human race in the great flood. And God speaks to Noah. He's warned of a coming disaster. He's told how to escape. And his faith responds by building the ark. He's warned and he builds. Where does faith come into it? Well, Noah hears a warning. Albeit it's from God, it's not exactly one of these letters that drops through the post and immediately before you even open it, you know it's a kind of warning letter. No, here's this from God, so I'm sure that had an awesome impression on him. But there was nothing to see. No clouds, storm clouds gathering on the horizon that you could look at and say, okay, I better start to move now. He was just told by God. He was given a warning. Will he believe it? Yes, he does. Not only does he believe, but such is the certainty of faith in Noah's heart that he acts in an amazing way. He responds by building a huge ark as a place of safety for him and his family. We're not told if his contemporaries were warned, but I'm sure they asked about that huge construction that was going on. It wasn't exactly the sort of thing you could hide in the shed or the garage. This was a massive project, and there's nothing quite like a building project to get the neighbours talking and saying, what on earth's going on there? What's Walker building next? I'm sure as he built, Noah had plenty of questions. I'm sure as he built, he had plenty of grief from the kids. Dad, could you not tone this down a little bit? Are you sure this is necessary? But when the flood came, the laughter ceased and Noah's faith was vindicated and rewarded. And not only was he and his family saved from disaster on the day of judgment, but God rewards his faith. And we're told in Hebrews there that he was rewarded for his faith by becoming an heir of righteousness. He saved, his family saved, and he becomes an heir of righteousness. Now that's an interesting statement. It doesn't say that he earned his righteousness by his actions. He became an heir of righteousness. If we inherit something, it comes to us as a gift on the death of another. And that's a theme that runs through the Bible, that righteousness comes to us as a gift. The righteousness that comes from God is a gift to us. Even though he is described as someone who was blameless in the eyes of God, in contrast to the generation around about him, he inherits righteousness because of his faith. God rewards those who seek him, we were told last week. Here is Noah's reward. He and his family are saved in a day of judgment. And he becomes an heir of righteousness, a rightness with a holy God. The reward of faith for Noah, the faithful builder. Our second example is Abraham the traveller. If the Hebrews were encouraged by Noah hearing a warning and acting on it, being saved and being given a righteousness, what were they to make of Abraham? The story of Abraham is also found in the book of Genesis, in chapters 12 to 25. And in Genesis 12, Abraham, age 75, is called by God to leave his country and his family, the place that was familiar to him, the people who were dear to him, and go to a land that God would show him. And in response, Abraham obeys and he went. He's called and he goes. And where does faith come into it? Abraham acted on faith. He was only given the promise of an inheritance. He couldn't see it. A land for his descendants, who would be so numerous that they couldn't be counted. There was nothing to see as he set off. He wasn't given a glossy brochure or an internet site he could look at and check it all out and decide, yeah, okay. He's called by God and he goes. Not only does he believe, but such is the certainty of his faith that he acts in an amazing way. He responds by leaving his place and his parents and extended family with all the difficulties associated with that. And with his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot and a few others, he sets off for an unknown destination. A movement of faith, going somewhere where he can't see. Going although the destination is unclear. And that decision, that moving in faith, was to characterise the rest of his life. He would never actually settle. He would only be given a taster of the land to explore it. And he's told that it will be for his descendants forever. In his lifetime, he actually became quite a wealthy man. He's described as very wealthy, returning from Egypt. Yet he refuses to settle down and live a life of luxury. That call of faith. To wait for God's promise, for God's place, remains with Abraham. Even when his nephew Lot chooses to live in the city of Sodom. A city that is also described as a place of wickedness. Abraham in his decision making chooses not to go with Lot near the city of Sodom. But to hold on to the promise that God has given him. How is his faith rewarded? Both he and his sons, we're told, have an inheritance reserved for them. Faith rewarded by God. Do you see the similarities between both of these characters? Both are told about the unseen. Both are given a promise. God tells them. And that telling from God, that message from God, characterizes their actions and the decisions for the rest of their lives. And the writer wants these Hebrew Christians to be people who hear God and who act on it, who respond on it, to be people who respond in faith. People who live in the light of what God has told them, regardless of what's happening round about them. And the Hebrew Christians will need that kind of faith. As Roman soldiers come looking for Christians to round up, as they face up to the storm of persecution that's gathering, faith that responds and continues to respond to God's word is what we'll see these Hebrew Christians through. A very applicable message to the Hebrew Christians, people who needed encouragement. But what about us? What about faith? Faith in our time. How does the faith of Noah and Abraham speak to us? Well, let's start at a very basic level and note that just like them, we too are warned and called. Each of us, perhaps today for the first time or maybe for many years, are warned through the pages of God's word that he will judge the earth, that he does not tolerate wickedness. He will come and judge. We're told in Acts 17 that in the past God has overlooked ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, Jesus, whom he has raised from the dead. One day, each of us will stand before the holy God of the universe on our own with our lives detailed. Documented, standing before the gaze of Holy God. I don't know if you've ever been in a courtroom, but if you've ever seen somebody arrive and stand in the dock, their confidence is usually pretty low. What will it be like to stand in God's courtroom? Stand there and have him judge our lives. We're warned, and today you're warned again through the pages of God's word, that there is a judgment. Just as Noah was warned and he reacted, we too are warned that God will not tolerate the actions of the human race as they rebel against him. He will come in judgment. Noah was different from the people around about him. I wonder if you have a sense that in some ways as societal behaviour deteriorates, something in you, something within you cries out and wants to be different. That is already making a judgment against certain behaviours in your own mind. How much more so the holy God, who has his standards, feels behaviour in our lives and in the lives of people around about us. We're warned. We're also called. We're called to repent. The Bible calls us in many ways. Called to repent, to turn to God. God gives a warning. But isn't it great he also calls us to come to him. He gives us a way out. He calls us to repent. We're warned and we're called. We're also called wonderfully to belong to Jesus Christ. We're called to an inheritance that will not spoil or fade. God warns us and he calls us. Faith is something that doesn't just believe, it's also something that responds. I wonder how you will respond to some of the things that we've touched on this morning. Is your response, I can't see it, therefore I don't want it, I don't get it? My prayer would be that God would open your eyes, would start to touch your life, and I wonder if he already has, to chip away at that. There are doubts in your mind about the reality. Or your denial of the reality of God's judgment, of God's existence. I wonder if God's been speaking to you, and although you don't see it, you want to move beyond that. I wonder if you agree, but at the moment it's just a head knowledge. You consent to it, but you've done nothing with it. God calls you to respond and to act. A faith that is simply a belief that is not acted on is not yet a faith of value. Not yet saving faith. The faith that God rewards is faith that responds in the most simplest way, a prayer of response to him. I wonder if you agree, but you fear the consequences. Take heart from someone like Noah. He knew, and he had to work through that whole issue of how will people respond? How will neighbours respond? How will family respond? Abraham had to work through these issues of how will my family respond to the fact that God's called me and I'm going to have to go. I wonder if you're that third option of response. I wonder if you're ready to respond. I wonder if you're at the stage where God's been speaking to you in lots of different ways, and perhaps today's just the last in a long line of things that God has said to you. I wonder if you're ready to respond, to act on what God has been saying to you. You can't ignore the voice of God any longer. A faith that responds is perhaps for you a faith that's going to respond today. In holy fear, Noah had got to that point where in holy fear, he knew that God was greater than anything else in his life and he had to respond. Noah built a safe place. Our place of safety in God's day of judgment is where? In Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who took our punishment, took the punishment for the wrongs, took the judgment for the things that we had done wrong, and now offers us a safe place to stand. Safe behind him, safe in him. That's the place for us to be. Noah found a place of safety for him and his family. I wonder if you've put yourself in that place of safety. I wonder if you need to act on it more. And Peter, he talks about Noah and the ark as a place of safety, but also as a model of baptism, of going through a kind of death, through the waters of judgment and coming out again. Of course, God's spoken to you about being baptized, showing that you're part of his family. That's part of the response of faith, to be baptized. I wonder if you've already responded. You've been a Christian for a number of years. Are you still responding? Are you still building? Building takes a lot of things, doesn't it? It needs planning. It needs materials. It needs effort. It needs time. It needs expense. Does faith of that kind of nature characterize our lives? Do your family see you building faith into your life through your daily routines, through your actions and choices, decisions? Is your faith a faith that's building? And what about God's call on your life? Are you fearfully building? Are you obeying and going? What if God's calling you to do something or go somewhere or make some change in your life? Are you obeying? Are you listening to that call? Are you obeying? Are you going? Are you doing what you've been encouraged to do? Are you looking to the future? Greenview has been blessed with a rich heritage of people of example. People who have heard the call of God in their lives. People who have responded to that call. And they've obeyed like Abraham did. And they've gone. Some of them have gone to other lands. At lunchtime today, we're going to help contribute to the work of some of the female missionaries who have gone out from Greenview, called to a work, who've responded, who've decided that God's call is more important in their lives. Hebrews faced persecution. Largely we don't experience that, but I wonder if it's about to change. We've had a number of warnings in the past year about the lack of tolerance of Christian belief in a number of professions, particularly the care profession, the health profession. I wonder if it will come to the stage where some of us will lose our jobs because of a decision to stay faithful to what we believe. Is our faith ready for that kind of decision making? Is it that serious to us? Have we heard the call and the voice of God clearly enough to know that His call is greater than even these things? We shouldn't be surprised as a church over the next few years, perhaps decades, if that changes. Maybe like the Christians in Rome, things might change overnight and we suddenly find our faith tested in all sorts of ways. Can I ask you how much you look to the future? Or have you settled down into a life of the here and now? We live in a culture of instant gratification. I want something and I buy it. It characterizes people who are caught in addictive behavior. I want it now, I can't put things off. The call of faith calls us to look forward to the future, to a promise that God has given to us, an inheritance that's out there, and make decisions day by day based on that vision. What is your vision for the future? Are you settled in the city of Glasgow or are you looking to the future? In a culture concerned with house ownership and home improvement, it's just possible that we lose sight of the fact that our citizenship, our real home, and we sung about it in that hymn we were introduced to, our home is not here. The buildings that we live in are not really our homes. Our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a saviour from there. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. Faith, we thought about at the beginning, is a sure hope for the future, a certainty in the promise of God that will carry us like the Hebrews through. And lastly, let me just note one thing. Both of these heroes of faith were blessed for their response to faith. But who else was touched by their faith? Did you see that it was their families who were touched and blessed by their decisions? We live in a culture where the family has become all important and parents pour everything into their children. The greatest thing we can give our children, and I want to speak particularly to fathers here. These men of faith influence their children. As parents, and particularly as fathers, are we making decisions of faith, responding in faith, that will touch the lives of our children? I spent time recently with a man who was, he was reflecting as the last of his children left home and went off to university life. He was thanking God that all three of them were continuing a commitment to faith. They'd found a local church to attend. They were going on in their walk with their Saviour Jesus Christ. He was blessed that all of his family had become Christians. He reflected on the fact that two of his his siblings, I think a brother and a sister, had given up attending church. Their faith had grown cold. And he's reflected too on his nieces and nephews. None of them had any interest in Christian faith. Brothers and sisters, the decisions we make relating to faith are of eternal significance for us and for our children. One of the greatest things that we can give to them is to pass on this faith. We live at the long end of a line of faith. The Hebrew Christians were encouraged by the faith of the ancients, the faith of Noah and of Abraham. The Hebrews' faith did stand up to the persecution of Nero, a persecution that we will probably see nothing the like of. But it stood up, and it stood up as a testimony to the people of Rome in the Roman Empire, whose influence reached to the United Kingdom. Through the faithfulness of these Roman Christians, Roman citizens were impressed by a faith that responded in the face of great adversity. And through that faithful process, God carried his word to our land and in our time touched our lives. He calls us today to be faithful people whose lives continue to demonstrate and evidence the unseen. People don't see faith unless we show it in our lives. I was reflecting on this just briefly with someone this week who I've known to be a Christian, and he's perhaps not the warmest in his faith at this point in time, and his response to some of these thoughts were, they were people of great faith. Let me finish with two verses that the Bible gives us. Faith. Is it something we need to produce from in ourselves? I don't have it. Faith is a gift from God. You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. God is a gift of faith he wants to give you. People of great faith, Jesus tells us that all it takes with faith is faith the size of a mustard seed. I could gather mustard seeds as tiny drops on the palm of my hand. A faith gifted by God, the size of a mustard seed, is what you need. Faith that responds, a faith that pleases God. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the gift of faith. Give us faith in our lives, faith to believe and to hear you, to hear your call in our lives. You open our eyes to see things that we wouldn't normally see or understand. You fill us with a conviction about our own lives and about the state of society around about us. You warn us and then you welcome us to come and to seek you as a place of safety in the face of a gathering storm of your judgment. Thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you that you give it to us. We don't have to earn it. But you call us to respond and you help us to respond. Lord, help us all this morning to respond to your faith in our lives. Help us to grow in our faith. And may our faith be seen by others round about us. Lord, help each one of us this morning to move on in our faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Vic. We're going to close by singing a final hymn. It's number 735 if you're using the book. And it's a hymn which brings to us some of the great themes we have thought of this morning about going out in faith.